Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. All right, so... Anything out of bounds that you don't want me to talk about? You don't want to talk about your ex? You don't want to talk about your... I mean, you don't have to talk about your ex, but don't bring that up or, you know, y'all be feeling some kind of way?
Nope.
No, I'm okay. It taught me a lot.
I know. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place, brains. This is where the conversation is what? Pointed in your face. Where's the pointer? Okay, the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, look at these two lovelies, and the responses are never dull. Back by popular demand, we're going to do a podcast potluck. What is that? That is where we stir it up, mix it up, and chop it up like Ginsu knives. We're going to give you the real deal. I've got two mothers here, two young mothers, single mothers. I'm about to get all up in their business, okay? I want to find out what is going on in the world. You know, I want to find out, can you still pull outside of being online? I want to talk about how it feels to be a single person managing little people, other little people, molding their minds, being an influence, having self-care and time for yourself. Now, Princess say that she got some stuff she can do with mine, a mindset. I'm going to see how she can set a mind because I got a toughie here. And then beautiful Matina from Toronto, Canada, she's going to talk to us about emotional code healing. So I think that there's a great synergy here. So before, it gets too involved, I want to be sure to thank you ladies for coming and being so open and honest and being with my brains. Okay, so up there, brains, that is Matina Singh. And over here, this is Princess Hester. She's from Connecticut. All right. So welcome to the Edge, ladies. Matina, tell us how you show up in the world, beautiful.
Thank you so much for that wonderful, kind introduction. I am Matina Singh. I am a coach, and I really love and enjoy releasing trapped emotions from people so that they can be their authentic selves and live their lives based on who they're meant to be and not on the baggage that they have gotten from the past life.
Okay, well, you know what? That's some abracadabra. Okay. It really is, because, you know, it's like you got the pixie dust to have, you have the power to help other women come into themselves and be their authentic self. Girl, you catch somebody maybe don't have their teeth in, don't have their wig on, or their eyelashes. That is authentic, and it can be ugly, okay? The ugliness is going to rise. That is a part of the human nature. That's a part of the process. What would you tell a woman that needs to manage that, Matina?
Well, as you just said, we all go through our hardships. But when we don't really truly address our emotions in that, be that anger, be that hurt, or be that the sadness that we feel, and we push that aside and we continue with life because you're a mom, because you have things to do, subconsciously, we have that trapped in our body. So when we don't release that, it can either come out in a way that we are actually feeling the pain in our bodies, or right, it doesn't allow us to be open in our next relationship, to be open in the opportunities that are presenting to us because we subconsciously believe that we are not worth it.
Well, see, and that's a lot of epigenetics too.
Yes.
Past generational trauma. Yeah. Princess, I want to talk to you about that. You know, growing up, if you wouldn't mind sharing, what was your household dynamic? Was it your mom, a dad, but you know?
Right. So my household dynamic, it was just my mom. She was a single mother. She was a young mother. She had me at the age of 15. So it was never a father in the household. So I seen my mom doing everything, working hard, paying the bills, providing clothes on my back, food on the table. So it was just really just me and her. So I was very spoiled, just for the simple fact that my mom constantly nurtured me because she somewhat felt a sense of guilt that she didn't that she wasn't able to provide me with that father figure in my life at a young age.
All right. So how does that make you show up in the world as you grow and you develop and you don't see a male influence? Because I had a stepfather and there was no hocus pocus. He was the real deal. Okay. He was good to me, you know, and it's hard to step into somebody's life and, you know, color in the white space. So how did that mold you? Go back and take us a little bit about, you know, how you started to develop relationships and things of that nature and start liking men. Because I'm not seeing your pictures, honey. You are the whole meal. You're not a snack. You're the whole meal. So, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, my mom, she did get married when I was in my preteens. Unfortunately, that relationship wasn't successful. So right then and there, I seen that, okay, the women in my family aren't really sustaining marriages. And what does it really mean to be a young woman? So I really started to kind of seek other places to kind of get information on how I'm supposed to present myself as a young woman. And honestly, you know, I had my first child at the age of 16. So I didn't really have a lot of experience prior to that or anything like that. But, you know, it was through trial and error where I learned from my past mistakes and relationships. Being a teenager up into my adulthood, I started to realize what I was bringing out of myself in these relationships and what was being brought towards me and what I did not want to tolerate as I got older and what things that I wanted to present in my relationships as I got older.
Right. But see the parallel? Your mother was 15. You were 16.
Yep.
There's something that happens in that. Do you have a girl or a daughter?
I have two. So I have a daughter that's 15 and I have a son that's 9.
All right. So I suggest we have that serious conversation often and regularly. You know what the conversation I'm talking about, the real deal. Because see, you get tricked up and get caught up by this thing called love. Somebody, you know, fondle you real good and give you a good kiss, maybe take you to the movies, and now all of a sudden you in love.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Love don't live here at 15.
Right.
Now, Matina, you come from a different culture. You're from India. Okay. Right. And just from my experience, because I've been to Mumbai, and it was a culture shock for me. It really was. Just everything. Food was fabulous, but I couldn't find a hamburger nowhere because they honor the beef. But it was different. And, you know, the women, the philosophy, and so many people there. And everybody is trying to get that status. That's why education is so important. That's why family is so important. That's why travel. All of those are cultural norms. But it can be a double-edged sword because there's also a lot of arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. Okay, so take us to India for a minute. What's happening over there?
So I actually grew up in Europe. I was born in India, grew up in Europe, and now in Canada. But you're right. There is a lot of expectations on the children, especially when you're a daughter, that you're to marry within the culture, that you're to marry and then have kids right away, and you have to provide for everyone, your husband, your children, and that is your life. And that's the same cookie cutter that I received. Even though we grew up in Europe, that's the way that's going to go. Mm-hmm. So I did marry within the culture, and it was, you could say it was arranged, but with my approval, I had the freedom to say yes or no. Good. Many people do not. And after 3 beautiful children, I was also the first one in my family to say, this marriage is not working for me and I need to get out. And I was very afraid that my parents would disown me or not agree with me or actually tell me to, this is your life and you can't step out anymore. But I'm absolutely grateful that nothing of such happened. They saw the challenges, they saw the hurt, they saw the abuse, and they were like, no, this is not what you signed up for. This is not what we want for our daughter. And I made the brave choice that after leaving my marriage, not to go back to Europe, to stay in Canada, because what I did not want is to be the person who took the kids away from the dad.
And that's wonderful. That's beautiful, because you still, you know, it's a control issue. You know, well, some fathers ain't paying child support. Some fathers got a new sweet thing. Some fathers is on drugs. Some fathers are abusers. I get it. Okay? But it takes two to tango. And yeah. You can cha-cha by yourself. So, Princess.
Yes.
So, you were never married. You have two children.
Yeah. Okay?
So, what is your relationship with their father? As you know, as broad as you want to.
Okay. So, being that I had my first child at 16, that relationship didn't last long. That was like that puppy love. It wasn't a real relationship.
Yeah, so I tell you that love, he groped you up real good and gave you a sweet kiss, took you to the movies.
Right. So I became a single mom then. So my mentality was already shifted to be an adult at a young age. Mm. And because of how my mom raised me, it was easy for me to adapt to that role. You know, a lot of people my age didn't understand, like, wow, you know, you're young, how could you raise a child? But I knew that I could do it on my own. And so because I did that on my own for 6 years, when I had my second child by my second child's father, I was able to do the same, except this time I was way more prepared. The things I didn't know at the age of 16, now at the age of 21, I breastfed my kid. You know, I was doing different things that I wasn't mature enough or understood when I was younger. So raising my son was a lot more nurturing than raising my daughter, because I was still in high school and I didn't really have a lot of support. But as I got older, I was able to put certain things in place for it to be easier. But again, even then I was a single mom. Okay. Because I knew that I did not want to deal with certain things. And I said, I can raise a child on my own. I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to deal with any negativity because I have a vision. And so I became a single mother and just completely owned it, to a point that I had already restructured my mind to think that I was the mother and father. A father no longer existed in my mind.
Okay, but does a father participate? Does either father participate with their children?
So they participate, but from a distance. Okay. So sometimes it's better to be distant.
Girl, let me tell you. than front and center. Yeah, because it can be confusing.
It can be confusing to the kids.
Yeah. And it can be confusing to you too. Because there was once some feelings up in there. Now, come on, keep it real.
Right.
You know, and then who is your significant other introducing into your child's life? And I don't know what the culture is in India with men. Is it a cultural norm for maybe an Indian man to have more than one wife or one family? You know, in Africa they do it all the time, other countries, but is that
no
okay, so it's monogamous, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I didn't know, but now, you know, he's going to fall in love again. And a princess, your kid's father's going to fall in love again. Yep. And they're going to bring this woman into your child's life. Now, let me tell you, I had a baby mama drama. Oh, yes. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 37 years. And I have stepchildren. One that he had a child with, we peanut butter and jelly. The other one, we fire and ice. Okay. But the mothers have an influence in that, okay? So I just tried to step back, catch my breath, and see, you know, what role I could play. I wanted the child to come to me. I didn't want to be forced upon them. But then you got that influence when they go home, you know, April ain't this and April ain't your mama and blah, 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 because there's still some emotion there. How do you guys feel when your children go be with their daddies? Keep it 100 now.
Since I've been a single mom for so long, I don't have any intimidation from any other woman, because I know that I'm a strong woman and I raised these two kids on my own, and that the person that they're with has been absent. So if that's someone you want to really represent who's not there for their kids, I'm looking at the woman already at a different perspective, because you're with someone who is not there for their kids.
Now pump your brakes. Pump your brakes, because it's not always about that. Okay. My husband was always there for his kids. Mm-hmm. But their mama was a bump in the road. Mm-hmm. And there was only one queen in this castle, and that's me. Okay?
Yeah.
My way or the highway. I looked at my husband and said, you know what? If you don't do for your child and you don't love your child, that's a direct correlation on how you're going to treat me and our children. Right. Okay? Exactly. When you look at a man and he's disrespectful to women and he talk bad about his mama and, you know, using the B word all the time, that's a direct correlation as to how he's going to treat you.
Exactly. Okay?
So it's not necessarily that she doesn't want, you know, she ain't got no control over that. She's enjoying the time, honestly, that he don't have his kids, because she ain't got to worry with him. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily, every time you get into that situation, have that mindset that, you know, that she's trying to, you know, she's doing something outside of what you might do, because you got the kids and she don't. How do you feel, Matina, when your husband goes out with your kids and he may have another suitor?
My ex.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, honestly, this is the situation that I'm facing right now. So he got married a couple of years ago and recently has introduced and has started the conversation with the kids to introduce his wife. And the first thing he said to them was, this is your new mom. My inner motherhood was in anger. Like, how dare you? I am your one and only. Yet I bit my tongue. I said nothing. And my son said to him, Dad, you mean stepmom? He said, yes, stepmom. And then they moved the conversation. I was so proud of a 9-year-old to correct his dad. I honestly, truly challenge myself always to be open. There are going to be experiences that I cannot shield my children from.
No.
And all I can do is for them to know, no matter what, their mom is going to be there for them. It's going to support them. It's going to love them. It's going to have an open ear for them. However they feel, they can come to me. And I have never badmouthed his dad in front of them. And I'm certainly not going to start now with his wife.
Well, you better than me, because baby, I cussed the mama and the womb they came from. I did. Okay. Cause it was foul. Okay. But I look at it like this. I hear what you're saying now. My oldest stepson came to live with us when he was 18. He wanted a different experience, okay? And so his mother was in her feelings, you know, and I get that. And he calls me mom. And he did that on his own, you know. And how do I feel? No one will ever take your place. There will never be another Matina. There will never be another princess. But to have another queen to love on your child, to nurture your child, to put a Band-Aid on them, to help them with their homework, to, you know, sing them a song. You're building a tribe, ladies.
Absolutely.
You're building a tribe. And you got to respect that other woman if she's right. Now, if she ain't right, you know, I told you, cuss her.
Exactly.
It's his responsibility to groom her.
Right. You know? Right.
Right. Right. But he's got to work with you.
One thing that I would like to point out here, though, we as women get intimidated when we think that this is another mother.
Right.
But if you take away that title and just say this is another woman, even if we have teachers in school, we're not going to compare our motherhood with teachers. And right. Sometimes kids absolutely adore their teachers.
Oh, I know, I did.
And it's like, why would you compare yourself and the love and kindness that you give to your child with anyone else? There's no comparison.
Right.
But we get trapped in that mindset of...
Right. In the words. Yeah. You know, because words have power.
Yes.
All right. Now let's flip the script. You guys is, you know, you two is hotter than fish grease, both of you. how you going to act when you introduce a suitor to your children? Because, okay, you got young women. I want you to pay attention to what they say. I want you to pay attention to what they do. Okay? Because folks is tricky. Mm-hmm. And it's not just men. Women are predators too. When they tell you, you believe them. They ain't got no reason to lie. And if they do lie, they're lying for a reason because that person is not suitable to them. They're mean to them when you're not around. They, you know, they do funny things, anything. But pay attention to your children. Okay, so now you got a man that's, you know, pushing up on you and saying, hey, you know, I'm ready to, we done been on 2 or 3 dates. I want to meet your kids. How you going to act, Matina?
I have told myself I need to have at least 6 months of a relationship before I would introduce anyone to my children.
What does time have to do with it? What does 6 months mean? You can tell a fool in 2 weeks. You can tell somebody that you really, I mean, really, you know, sick. Okay, I'm giving myself 6 months. I'm giving myself a year. What does time is an illusion.
So what I want to be wary of is that I don't introduce someone too quickly who's not ready for children. Or who is open for the children factor, but not sure if they can fully accept them. That is a conversation I need to have with that person, no matter what.
And I get it. But you're asking for somebody to accept something after 6 months.
I do want to know that they understand that I'm a full package. I'm not coming all alone.
I understand that. I understand what you're saying. However, just check it out, you know, and the gradual introduction, you know, that's different. Here this person comes for dinner, you know, because your kids already know when you're dating somebody, really. Okay. The look on your face, the glow, you know what I'm saying? You always giggling on the cell phone. You texting all the time. Hey, mommy, mommy, you ain't got no time for that. You put on pretty lipstick. They already know, okay? But having an open, honest conversation with little people. Oh, I'm not going to tell them this. I'm not going to tell them that. You better tell them. Because, see, that's an extra set of eyes and ears for you. That's your benefit. Princess is shaking her head. You done been there, done that, and wearing a t-shirt, girl. Tell me about it. What's going on?
So I have, you know, a couple different approaches. So when I was younger, when I was 16, I didn't realize the importance of, okay, this child can see what's going on, even though they're small. So as my daughter got older, she explained to me, you know, the disappointment of me being in a relationship and it not working out. So me and her made a deal. She said she doesn't want to meet anyone unless she knows that this is someone that I'm going to marry, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. My father, he gave me a little tip that don't wait 6 months for the guy to meet your child, because in 6 months, you done invested all this time. And now what if he doesn't like, you know, what if he's not a kid person? What if he doesn't like kids? So he said it's better in the beginning to just kind of introduce them before you even get any deeper, but make sure that this person that you're introducing them to is someone that you actually want to spend, that you know that you're going to spend your life with.
Okay, now listen to what you said.
That they're, you know, they're ready for what you're ready for. Okay. Not just we're dating, we're talking,
and we still let's talk about. Let's talk about this for a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, now you guys are talking about what this gentleman is going to be ready for, okay? But why is he got to be ready? You know, because you have kids, okay? On the flip side, when your significant other, you want him to prep his woman. Are you hearing what I'm saying here?
Can you repeat that again?
Okay. So in a situation where you are women and you're going to date a man, you want the man to be prepared to accept your children. Okay. Mm-hmm. So also think that when your exes get another woman, that's not something that they prepare that woman for. It's like, okay, take it or leave it. But you have more of a sense of responsibility because the children are with you primarily. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so be easy with yourself and be easy with your expectations of other individuals, because, you know, taking on somebody's kids is a big responsibility. Kids is bad as hell, you know it. And they, well, they gonna show up and show out because, number one, you ain't my daddy and you ain't gonna tell me what to do. And, you know, you taking all my mama's time. So it's a delicate dance that you're doing there. But be easy with yourself and allow yourself to make mistakes and allow yourself to go out and have, you know, a good time. But be honest with these little people from the onset. Mommy's going out on a date. You ain't got to tell them the whole thing. I think I like this guy. Or maybe, I don't know. But until I feel that I'm comfortable with him, I'm not going to introduce him to you. But all this secretive and whispering and all that, because you lose street cred. Mm-hmm. You know? You're like, okay, well, she's, you know, trying to hide something from me. And you're the person that they're trying to protect. All right. So now let's go into your careers. Because, Matina, you say that you are working on some emotional code healer. You a practitioner. You got the pixie dust. What does that mean? What does that look like?
So emotion code actually is a great modality that helps you identify the emotion that is trapped in your body and then release it. So in one session, I can release about 10 emotions. But the beauty part that I love about this work is when I get to release a heart wall. And a heart wall is almost like a layered cake. Hey, we have a potluck here, so I'm going to bring the cake analogy.
All right now.
So when you have a layered cake in front of your heart can't really truly see the potential of the opportunities it's bringing to you. When you take down these layers and you have the room and space to actually take in everything that life is presenting to you, you can take advantage of those things better. So when I get to work on people's heart wall and take that down and see the difference from week one to maybe week five, and they're like, that happened to me. I can't believe that happened to me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. It's just the beginning.
Okay.
I love that.
All right. So good. That's where you get your charge. Now, Princess, you got your own set of wings and pixie dust. You're a life coach. What gives you the authority? What gives you the grace, the wisdom to help coach another woman through life's challenges?
So my experiences, like what I've been through, everything that I went through up until me writing my book, just the different challenges from being a single mother at a young age, from, you know, dealing with traumatic situations and being able to not allow that to break me down, but to use it as fuel, as momentum by shifting my mindset and focus on the good things that are happening in my life and turning those negative things into positive things. So I'll give you an example. I was, you know, sexually abused, right? So instead of me feeling like a victim, I'm like, I'm a victor in this situation because I can help the next young woman who has been abused and be able to help her. So now I've already found beauty in my trauma by helping this individual see them from a different standpoint by shifting their mindset and not looking at themselves as a victim.
Okay. So what I want you to think about and be encouraged is setting the mindset so that we're not abused.
Right.
Catching it from the onset. Having that conversation about self-worth. See, my mother, you know, she was a Svengali. My mother was pregnant at 14, first time out the gate. Man, she was jacked up. You know, had my brother. And but me, she told me I was a princess. She told me that I was worthy, that if anyone was with me, that they had to be worthy, that they had to treat me a certain way and be sure they took a shower.
Yeah.
But she made me feel beautiful. And when I broke my virginity, I came straight home and I told my mother, you know, when I needed birth control, I came home and told my mother. I didn't let the streets tell me. It wasn't a secret. It's not dirty. Sex is the most beautiful thing that, you know, God invented, was a man and a woman in intimacy to be together. But we have to groom our young men and our young women to know that there is a place, there's a time, but you're special. You know, they just make it seem like it's just, you know, you on a conveyor belt, you know, they laying you on a track. And that's not what it's about. It's about the emotional intelligence and the relationship capital and building mm-hmm. that investment and nurturing and loving. You guys have just been the best. Thank you so much. I could talk to you forever. And call me if you just really want to go there, because I'll give you my perspective, okay? If them mamas get crazy, let me know. And let me check out the men before you show them to the kids. So, Matina, please show your book. Tell people how to get in contact with you and all the good stuff.
Awesome.
Put that book up there so we can see it.
Right there.
There you go. Tell me a little bit about Wings of a Woman.
Perfect. I was a part of this book where we, 15 women, came together and wrote a chapter in the book about something that we overcame. And I talk about how I had a whole story made in my head before I told my parents of what was really truly going on. And at the other flip side, where 90% of those things did not come through, and I had the support and love and light, and that if I can do it with 3 young children, with a 1-month-old and 4-year-old twins, that anyone can. So that's the story of that book.
Now let me ask a question. When I looked at the cover, most of those women are Indian women.
Yeah, these are all Indian women.
Wow. They're
all Indian women. And they have all their own strengths that they bring out. And it's so beautiful to see how perseverance we are as women.
That's right. And it's very progressive.
Yes.
It's very diversity inclusive.
Yes.
And it breaks cultural norms. Absolutely. And that's good, because women are, you know, they're taking over the planet, mathematics and science and engineering and, you know, being trailblazers, starting a business, all that, all those type of things. So thank you, Tina. Please tell us how to get a copy of your book and how to contact you on the World Wide Web.
Awesome. So I am on Facebook at Matina Singh, and then also on Instagram on Singh Matina. But please also visit my website, matinasingh.com.
All right, brains. I'm counting on you. Contact her, really, because we all need to get our emotions in check. And I told you she got some pixie dust. So much. Thank you, Brace. I need you to check it out. Okay. Really, especially in Canada. There's a large Indian community there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I used to work in Canada. I know. Oh, yes. Mothers live, honey. Princess, how to get in contact with you, wonderful. And tell us about your book.
Okay. You can get in contact with me on Facebook, Princess Hester, or Instagram, Princess the Author. And my book is called Compelling Allure. And it's basically a memoir of the different events, traumatic events that happened in my life, and how I took each traumatic event and turned that into momentum and fuel, and used that to better myself, for my children, to shift my mindset, and to become a producer versus just trapping myself into a depression. So my book talks about mental health and how to use your mental health as a way to escape from all the pain that you've been through, but use that to fuel you to get to your fullest potential.
Okay, you need all the fuel you can get at $6.48 a gallon. Yes. You ladies are wonderful, you know, and all on a serious tip, brains, don't overthink stuff. This is a journey, okay? Mm-hmm. It is going from point A to point B. There are going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be obstacles, but there's going to be joy. And you got to learn, and you got to mold the minds of the next generation. You can't go back to what happened, you know, when you were 15 or 16. It's a whole different thing now. And I, you know, be trying to change my vision and my perception on things. I can't think of it the way that it was. Be gentle with yourself. You do evolve. Be gentle with yourself. Love yourself. Find you a gotten picking babysitter. Go out and love your life, but be honest with these little people. Mold their minds. Don't be tripping off the ex, because that's their ex for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if they don't come around, maybe that's God's way of telling you that will cause more confusion. Exactly. If there's another woman, look at her as not a mother, but look at her as a woman and check her out. If she's not good, you know, I told you what to do. But if she's a good soul, look at her soul, you know? Listen to her conversation. You ask your kids. Don't question them and grill them. But, you know, how is things over there? Does she cook for you? Is she nice to you? You know, those kind of things. And listen to what they say. They're your eyes and ears. Like, it couldn't be no better. Thank you so much. You ladies are the best. And brains, you good too. Thank you for joining us on the podcast Potluck. Where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull. I need you to go and handle your business. Do what you do. Like, love, and share. This, like, love, and share. Again, like, love, and share. And if there's some men, I want your perspective too, because you know, I've been married 37 years and I got a whole lot of data collecting. I could run some stuff through your mind. Matter of fact, that's what I think I'm going to do. Put a call out to some single men and see how they feeling on the other side of the edge. Thank you, ladies. I love you deeply.
Thank you.